Please take note of our new ministry headquarters phone number, 901-825-0652. That's 901-825-0652. We're switching our phone number because we want you to have the ability to not only leave a message, but to text us. In fact, the fastest way to get a response is to text us. Why? Because then we don't have to transcribe your message. You just simply text it to us and we can respond much quicker. Now, you can leave a voicemail at 901-825-0652. But if you want a fast response, please text us at 901-825-0652. Forgot your Situation Room membership password and can't get in? Text us your first name, your last name, the email address you signed up under. We'll look up your account, reset your password for you, send you back a text. If you have other issues, feel free to text us. But again, if you need to leave a voicemail, you can do that. Would you like to leave a tax-deductible contribution for the Worldview Weekend Foundation? You can leave a voicemail, 901-825-0652. 901-825-0652. But don't forget, you can also text us.
Faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
Welcome, glad you are with us. Well, I've got a program today, and it's probably going to have to go into tomorrow and maybe even more than that. For those of you that can put on your thinking caps and keep up, you are going to find out today how many mainstream evangelical leaders and pastors, I believe, have been played. They've been played. They have been deceived. They have been duped. Some of them maybe are willing participants. I don't know what causes people to do these things. Sometimes they just don't want to listen to folks that try to warn them. I guess they think they're too smart by half. They can't learn anything, perhaps. I don't know. They're too isolated, insulated, live in a bubble. I don't know. But today you're going to be shocked, absolutely shocked, some of you, most of you, by what I'm going to explain to you. I hinted at this in, I think, either Religious Trojan Horse or The Coming Religious Reich. I can't remember. I'll have to go back and search. But you do know that it was Bob Buford of the Leadership Network with Peter Drucker that started the Emergent Church. You know that, right? Do you not know that? Listen to me, because here, you know the old saying, tell people what you're going to tell them, then you tell them, and then you tell them what you told them. So let me tell you what I'm going to tell you. What I'm going to tell you is that groups like the Gospel Coalition, with all their various members, is really a product of the evangelical church and the emergent church giving birth to the neocultural Marxist groups like the Gospel Coalition. You take the emergent church and you merge it with the evangelical church and you end up with today's movement of cultural Marxist at the Gospel Coalition founded by cultural Marxist, neo-Marxist Tim Keller. And then who do you see endorsing, promoting, sharing the platform with, speaking with, inviting to their conferences? Mainstream evangelical leaders, pastors, Bible teachers, etc., members of the Gospel Coalition. Now, wait a minute. Think about this now. Listen, this is what's important. How many people do you know that took a strong stand against the emergent church? And for those of you who don't know, we'll define the emergent church here in a minute. But how many of you know Bible teachers and pastors and evangelicals and authors and talk show hosts, Christian talk show hosts, etc., that all were opposed to the emergent church? They did not agree with Rob Bell, Doug Padgett, Tony Jones, any of those guys. Their mysticism, their social justice, their postmodernism, their ecumenicalism, all that. They didn't agree with that. Their questioning of major Christian doctrines. But what if you took the emergent church and you started using the Hegelian dialectic process of conflict? Because remember, the change comes from the conflict. And let's say you pitted the emergent church against the evangelical church. And through that conflict of the Hegelian dialectic process, there was this syncretism that took place, this synthesis that caused people to say, well, can we get along? We're tired of the fighting. We're tired of the emergent church and the evangelical church fighting. And I kind of got into this last night in our Grave Influence live class last night. And then I began to do more research and more this morning to really flesh this out. So if you joined us last night, I talked about way more than this last night, but if you joined us last night, you're going to hear a little bit of a review, but you're going to hear a lot of new stuff as well. But you had the emergent church and the evangelical church, and people were fighting with each other over these concepts. Families were disagreeing, church members were disagreeing, pastors were hearing it from both sides. And all of a sudden, there's this, hey, can't we all just get along? This kind of a Rodney King moment. Hey, can't we just all get along? And so people began to compromise to get along. And there's this merging or this conflict that has created a syncretism or a synthesis that produces a new thesis, right? And what is the new thesis? The new thesis ends up being the Gospel Coalition and groups like the Gospel Coalition. But I'm going to mention the Gospel Coalition because did you know the Gospel Coalition is reported by Alexa.com that keeps rankings and ratings to be the 18th most visited Christian website, quote Christian, website in America? Did you know that? I don't know if it still is today. I didn't check the stats today, but I am reading a report that documents that at one time, the Gospel Coalition website, which I should really be called the Cultural Marxist Gospel Coalition, but they were the 18th most visited Christian website in America. Now that's dangerous. They're also, of course, sponsoring huge conferences with thousands and thousands of people, including pastors, who then bring this cultural Marxism back to their churches and completely destroy churches and have a false gospel. And it's really bad. And some of you don't want to believe it, but you go do your homework or you watch all the hours and hours of TV we've done on this, and you can see the screenshots, and you will come to understand most of them have a false gospel. If you don't believe me, then go read the book. It's a small little book. You can get it on Amazon by E.S. Williams. E.S. Williams, his book is called The New Calvinist. His pastor is the pastor of the historic Memorial Tabernacle in Great Britain that was pastored by Charles Spurgeon. So you have a conservative Calvinist endorsing a book written by someone in his church, E.S. Williams, and in the endorsement, the pastor of the Memorial Tabernacle, Spurgeon's old church, says that these guys, the new Calvinists, have a false gospel. They have a new gospel, a false gospel. So you don't have to take my word for it. Even some guys in the more conservative reform movement are calling these guys out as having a false gospel. And they include people like John Piper and Tim Keller and others. So again, you don't have to take my word for it. But how did we get here? Through a thesis and antithesis, idea, opposite idea, a fighting. But do you know who actually started the emergent church? Do you know how the emergent church got started? Let me tell you who started the emergent church, and then we'll define the emergent church a little bit. The emergent church got started by Bob Buford from the Leadership Network. How many of you are familiar with Bob Buford in the Leadership Network? You've heard me talk about him for years and write about him in my books, right? He just died a few months ago. He was a wealthy businessman. He started TV stations in Tyler, Texas, ended up being a whole network of television stations, became very wealthy, and then moved over into the area of, hey, how can we take the churches and turn them into a powerful source for cultural transformation, right? Now, if you doubt me that the emergent church started through Bob Buford. And why is that important? Because Bob Buford, working with Peter Drucker, a communitarian. What is a communitarian? One who believes in mixing socialism with capitalism. Peter Drucker loved John Maynard Keynes. John Maynard Keynes, he said, was one of the greatest economists of all time. He was a Fabian socialist. Again, they like to mix socialism with capitalism, or what's also called communitarianism. And Peter Drucker was an admitted communitarian. Peter Drucker said, and we have him on audio saying, no, I'm not a Christian, I'm not born again. We also have him on audio and video saying Peter Drucker came to him and wanted to learn from Peter Drucker, who taught the idea of total quality management, how to take churches and corporations and the government and merge them together for a three-legged stool and have transformational churches. But you say, wait a minute, what does this have to do with the emergent church? Bob Buford started the emergent church. He helped start it through his group called the Leadership Network. Now, again, don't take my word for it. Brian McLaren admitted this back in 2005 to PBS. This is what I've been digging up today, since early this morning. Here's an article by PBS, July 15th, 2005, Brian McLaren extended interview. How did all this get started, PBS asked. Brian McLaren, again, folks, he's one of the leaders of the emergent church, denying major essential Christian doctrines and performed the ceremony for the same-sex ceremony for his son. Brian McLaren, very liberal. He wrote the book, A New Kind of Christian. He was part of the beginning of the emergent church with Tony Jones, Doug Padgett, and all these guys, Rob Bell. But he says it was Bob Buford's Leadership Network that started it. So listen, he says to PBS, quote, well, back in the early 1990s, there was an organization called Leadership Network, funded by an individual in Texas. And Leadership Network was bringing together the leaders of mega churches around the country. By the early and mid-90s, they noticed, though, that the kinds of people that were coming to their events were getting a year older every year. And there wasn't a group of younger people filling in. They were one of the first major organizations to notice this. And then he goes on to talk about the beginning of the emergent church. I did document in my book, Religious Trojan Horse, folks, this. Brian McLaren is one of the most popular authors and speakers within the emergent church movement. On his website, Brian McLaren recounts a conversation with a college student on how the emergent church was founded. Quote, emergent grew out of the Young Leadership Network. The Young Leader Networks, which was launched in the mid-90s by Leadership Network, a Dallas-based foundation. Now, I document that in my book, Religious Trojan Horse. So I've kind of hinted at you before that the emergent church came out of Bob Buford's Leadership Network. Now, why is this important? Listen to me now. If you wanted mainstream evangelical leaders to embrace your concept or your ideas of transformational churches and new spirituality, a new religion, how do you do it? How do you do it? You camouflage it, number one. But not only do you camouflage it, you create a conflict. Remember, the change comes from the conflict, thesis and antithesis. Idea, opposite idea. The change comes from the conflict. You create conflict so that people get tired of the conflict, so they will willingly compromise and embrace what is born, which is a new thesis, a new idea. But it's such a mixture of both that both sides are happy, and then most other people are confused because it doesn't look anything really like the initial groups that were fighting, A and B, because it is a mixture of both, C. And so most people say, huh, this looks okay. Not all of it, but most of it's pretty good. We'll go along with this. And that's what has happened. Major evangelical leaders and pastors that were opposed to the emergent church have, listen now, give tacit approval by participating with the major leaders of the new thesis that was created through the conflict of the evangelical church and the emergent church, and it gave birth largely to groups like the Gospel Coalition. The Gospel Coalition wasn't founded until 2005, and it was founded by none other, as we've said before, cultural Marxist Tim Keller. Now, you might remember, I've told you over and over and wrote about it in the book Religious Trojan Horse, a book called Deep Church. It was subtitled A Third Way Beyond Emerging and Traditional. It was written by Jim Belcher. And basically it said this, can we take the evangelical church and can we take the emergent church and merge them together and have a third option? And the book was endorsed by, wait for it, Tim Keller, founder of the Gospel Coalition. Wait a minute. What did Tim Keller endorse? A book calling for the merging of the evangelical church and the emergent church. Wow. And who else endorsed it? Richard Mao of Fuller Theological Seminary. Where did Rick Warren come from? Fuller Theological Seminary. Where did John Piper come from? Fuller Theological Seminary. Don't go away.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. I was taking a dietary supplement for over 12 years, but I believed I could actually develop a better dietary supplement, and so I contacted a couple years ago an FDA-approved facility, and we created together Extractgevity. It is a compilation of such extracts as red wine extract, pine bark extract, grapeseed extract, bilberry extract, and more. Now, you don't have to take my word for it. You can go look up on your own what the medical websites and other doctors and researchers have said about the benefits of red wine extract, pine bark extract, grapeseed extract, bilberry extract, and the other ingredients that make up Extractgevity. Now, why did I work with this FDA-approved facility to create Extractgevity? Because the supplement I was taking, frankly, was way too expensive. And I felt like I could develop, with their help, a better dietary supplement at a cheaper price. And I think we've done just that. If you want more details, it's extractgevity.com. Extractgevity.com. Studies show that supplement ingredients may have anti-aging effects, protect cells from free radical damage, help prevent Alzheimer's disease, prevent growth of cancer cells, benefit your heart, your skin, your brain, eye, and circulatory health. I take it every morning, and sometimes in the afternoon, if I'm feeling tired and sluggish, I'll have another drink of Extractgevity. In fact, our most recent supply of Extractgevity is our best yet. It wasn't quite dissolving the way I wanted it to in the water, so I asked them to put it through a more intense blender to grind it up more. And the end result is, as soon as the powder hits the water and you stir it, you don't have any clumps. If you'd like to try it for 30 days, you can do that by simply ordering it at extractgevity.com. You can also sign up and receive it automatically every month so you don't miss an order. We're not promising you what kind of results you will get. I personally had digestive issues for years, but after taking a supplement that included red wine extract, pine bark extract, grapeseed extract, my digestive issues went away. My wife has also taken it with me for years and experienced her own benefits. So why don't you try Extractgevity and see what it does for you? Extractgevity.com is the website. Now, this product has not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. I like to take something like Extractgevity that has a lot of antioxidants in it because I'm very concerned about all the cancer-causing chemicals in our food. In fact, recently I read an article from the New York Daily News dated April 30th, 2018. The headline, "Cancer-causing weed killer found in popular foods, FDA internal email reveals." And so what am I doing to counter this? I take something that has a lot of antioxidants in it that counters those free radicals. So why don't you visit the website, extractgevity.com, and take a look at what I developed along with an FDA-approved facility. Now again, the benefits are, I believe, going to be self-evident to you, but your experience is yours. We're not making any claims. Who knows? Maybe Extractgevity is a great way to support your health and also support our ongoing broadcast. Extractgevity.com.
All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com. So I've kind of told you what I was going to tell you. Now I'm going to tell you, and then I'll tell you what I told you, because that's how you give a speech, right? Tell them what you're going to tell them, and then tell them what you told them. So I've given you the big overview. Now let's get into the details to prove this thesis. Let's prove that the evangelical church and the emergent church fought it out, a setup of conflict, in order to create the thesis and antithesis and give birth to groups like the Cultural Marxist Gospel Coalition. And sadly, now listen now, because this is what is the humdinger of it all. People that opposed the emergent church, people that opposed Rick Warren, have now openly embraced the Gospel Coalition. But the Gospel Coalition is the emergent church and Rick Warren's and Bob Buford's Peter Drucker's three-legged stool of communitarianism. So listen again to what I just told you. Are you listening? Are you paying attention? Pastors and leaders that were opposed to Rick Warren's purpose-driven church model, three-legged stool, government, corporations, and churches coming together, make the church for the unbeliever, survey the community, see what they want in a church, the unbeliever, and give them that kind of church, seeker-sensitive church model. Pastors and leaders that opposed that are now embracing the Gospel Coalition, which is partly Rick Warren's model. Listen now, Rick Warren was pushing this in the Southern Baptist and with other churches, but he claims to be Southern Baptist. Tim Keller is the Reformed Calvinist version of Tim Keller. Did you hear what I just said? Tim Keller is the Reformed Calvinist version of Tim Keller. Tim Keller is the Reformed Calvinist version of Rick Warren. Pastors and leaders that were opposing Rick Warren now embrace the Gospel Coalition. It was founded by Tim Keller. Tim Keller is doing the same thing Rick Warren was doing. But why do they embrace him? Because he is huddled up with a bunch of Calvinists, and to most of them, that's the first and final thing, John Calvin and Calvinism. And it, let me make it clear, their brand of Calvinism, which is why E.S. Williams, a Calvinist, calls them the new Calvinist, which is why you have many Calvinists today, traditional Reformed Calvinists, rejecting the new Calvinist. But many of the pastors and leaders that rejected Rick Warren embrace Tim Keller, who is the Rick Warren of the Reformed community. Many of the pastors and leaders that rejected the emergent church now embrace the Gospel Coalition and its speakers, who are embracing the very same things that the emergent church embraced. Now, how on earth can pastors and evangelical leaders that were opposed to Rick Warren's transformation of churches, opposed to the emergent church, now embrace groups like the Gospel Coalition, which is doing both the Rick Warren model through Tim Keller and the mysticism of the emergent church? Because they have been fooled through the Hegelian dialectic process, evangelical church and emergent church fighting and giving birth to this third option. Now, let me give you a quick quote by Bob Buford, because some of you may not remember Bob Buford, and I want to prove to you that Bob Buford is following the Rick Warren model. Because remember, it is Bob Buford's leadership network that Brian McLaren said gave birth to the emergent church, which set up this conflict, which created this new thesis of what we have today. The emergent church and evangelical church fighting, merging, and giving birth to a mixture of both, which would be really the Gospel Coalition as an example. Here's what Bob Buford wrote in How Baby Boomers, Churches, and Entrepreneurs Can Transform Society. That was the name of the article. He said, quote, "There are three major sectors in American society: the government, which ensures compliance with laws and allocates resources, the business sector, which provides jobs and fosters economic development, and the social sector, churches and nonprofits, which addresses social and existential needs. All three sectors must do their part if we wish to create healthy, socially functioning communities in the 21st century." Okay? So that's the three-legged stool: corporations, churches, and the government. That's what Bob Buford has called for, and that's what Bob Buford was doing. And again, we have on video, and I won't play it because he's too hard to understand with his thick, thick accent, but we have on video, in fact, you'll find it at worldviewpedia.com. Inside worldviewpedia.com, if you go there and type in Peter Drucker, you'll find all these video clips, small video clips we have of him. And on this video clip, he states that it was Bob Buford that came to him to teach him how to take the church and use the church for cultural transformation. And here we have the article from PBS, Brian McLaren, one of the leaders of the emergent church, saying, yeah, the emergent church was really birthed through the leadership of Bob Buford. Bob Buford. Now, I got to reach over behind me and grab something I just printed off the printer as we were going on the air. Hold on. All right. Well, that's not it. Where is it? Well, let me just go to the website then. Before we went on the air, because I was researching up to the very last minute, here is what I found. I found an article over at Christianity Today. Christianity Today, dated, it had to be this year because Bob Buford died this year. And the headline is, Bob Buford, founder of Leadership Network and Halftime, has died. He was a catalyst that fostered a movement. The subtitle is, Meet One of the Most Influential but Least Known Church Leaders. Now, this is written by none other than Ed Stetzer. We've talked about him a lot, right? Well, as I read through the article, because I was researching I was researching Bob Buford and Tim Keller to connect these guys together. Because again, Tim Keller is the founder of the Gospel Coalition, who works with all these guys over there at the Gospel Coalition who openly work with well-known mainstream evangelical leaders. And so I wanted to prove that Tim Keller and Bob Buford know each other and in some ways worked together to further this transformation of churches. We know that Tim Keller wants that. We have him on audio and video saying build churches for the non-believer. We need to build churches for the poor. He's into social justice. He's into liberation theology. He quotes liberation theologian and founder of liberation theology, the Catholic Jesuit Gustavo Gutierrez. I mean, there's a lot we've done on him, right? But I wanted to connect Tim Keller with Bob Buford. Since Bob Buford started the Emergent Church and went to Peter Drucker and said, hey, come work with me and let's transform these churches to have a transformational society. And lo and behold, in this brand new article, what did I find? Here's what I found. The article at Christianity Today from this year after Buford died a few months ago. Ed Stetzer writes for Christianity Today. Buford did not just convene meetings. He funded the impact he desired. He did so selectively, however, only choosing investments that would create exponential returns. For example, he and Colorado billionaire Phil Anschutz, A-N-S-C-H-U-T-Z, financed the Burning Bush Fund. They took their catalyzing passion and combined it with strategic investment. Leaders like Mark Driscoll, Tim Keller, Larry Osborne, Greg Surratt, Neil Cole, and others involve their churches and ministries in, quote, bingo. We just connected Tim Keller to being involved with Bob Buford of Leadership Network, that according to Brian McLaren at PBS, started the Emergent Church. Started it. Now, why is that important? Because you have to have a thesis and an antithesis, opposites, fighting each other, because the change comes from the conflict, said Saul Alinsky and others. Don't forget, Saul Alinsky studied the guys at the Frankfurt School, the cultural Marxists at the Frankfurt School, who left Germany in 1933 and came to America and were dropped down at Brandeis and Berkeley and Princeton by humanist and socialist John Dewey. The reason that's important is if the Frankfurt School was studying, if the Frankfurt School was studied by guys like Saul Alinsky, then Saul Alinsky would know all about cultural Marxism, which he did. And Tim Keller has admitted in one of his books he was greatly influenced by the Frankfurt School. Alinsky and others all studied the Frankfurt School. The Frankfurt School were watching and reading the documents by a communist by the name of Antonio Gramsci, who told Mussolini in Italy, the way you're going about bringing communism is not going to have a long-lasting impact because you're forcing it on people. Don't force it on people. Give it to them in small chunks so they actually want it. Create a thesis and antithesis. The philosophy of George Hegel that was followed by Karl Marx. Well, Mussolini didn't like this. The fascist Mussolini didn't like what the communist Antonio Gramsci was telling him, and he threw him in prison where he died. But he ended up writing a lot while in prison, Antonio Gramsci, the communist. And the Frankfurt School studied that. And they really learned this idea of thesis and antithesis. Idea, opposite idea. Which then Saul Alinsky quotes and picks up on in Rules for Radicals, which in the late 70s he dedicates to Lucifer. And he says you have to have the change come from the conflict. Well, Tim Keller admits in one of his books he was influenced by the Frankfurt School. And then yet he had to find a way to take Orthodox Christianity and merge it with the ideas of the Frankfurt School. And so you have to have a thesis and antithesis, an idea and an opposite idea, and they must fight because the change comes from the conflict. Then the two ideas merge to produce a third option. And that's exactly what's happening. So here you have Christianity Today admitting this year, article by Ed Stetzer, that Bob Buford was working with Tim Keller. Again, let me quote it. But Buford did not just convene meetings. He funded the impact he desired. He did so selectively, however, only choosing investments that would create exponential returns. For example, he and Colorado billionaire Phil Anschutz financed the Burning Bush Fund. They took their catalyzing passion and combined it with strategic investment leaders like Mark Driscoll, Tim Keller, Larry Osborne, Craig Sherratt, Neil Cole, and others involved their churches and ministries, end quote. So he's admitting right there that the leadership network was working with Tim Keller. Working with Tim Keller. Admitted it right there. Now again, this is important. Now, I can take you even further. Remember us talking about Tim Keller endorsing the book by Jim Belcher. Jim Belcher wrote the book Deep Church. Do you remember that? And what was that church, that book all about? How do you merge the evangelical church? Oh, it's knocking on my window. How do you merge the evangelical church and the emergent church? How do you do that? Through a conflict. And that's what's being done. So let's go to break. Find out why someone is knocking on my window. And we'll pick it up right here. We'll be right back.
We have two fall conferences coming up for Situation Room members. The first one is Friday night, November 2nd, Saturday, November 3rd, with former CIA Operations Officer Claire Lopez, also former CIA Operations Officer Dr. Peter Pry, who's also an expert on nuclear weapons, nuclear warfare, as well as EMP, as Chief of Staff of the Congressional EMP Commission. We'll also have with us former Department of Homeland Security Officer Phil Haney, who wrote the book See Something, Say Nothing, who's been a guest on Sean Hannity's program 14 times. We'll also have former Muslim, now Christian pastor, Sharam Hadian. 100% new material, and you'll be able to ask questions of them in real time via text, as they're all on our new TV set at one time. Full details on this conference can be found at wvwtv.com/security. That's wvwtv.com/security. The next conference is Friday night, November 16th, Saturday, November 17th. It's our International Understanding the Times Bible Prophecy Conference. Again, live streamed for Situation Room members. And the full details on that can be found at wvwtv.com/prophecy. wvwtv.com/prophecy. Those speakers will include Dr. David Hawking, Dr. Ed Heinzen, Dr. Tommy Ice, and Dr. Arnold Frutenbaum. Full details at wvwtv.com/prophecy. Two conferences coming in November that you can live stream and send in your questions in real time via text. Again, wvwtv.com/security and wvwtv.com/prophecy for more details. If you're not a Situation Room member, you can join at situationroom.net, situationroom.net. Join at the one-year rate, monthly rate, two-year rate, or save a lot of money and join at the three-year rate. Full details at situationroom.net, situationroom.net, where membership has its privileges.
Welcome back. Glad you're with us, Worldview Radio. And our website, worldviewradio.com. Now, here is the book endorsed by Tim Keller, by Jim Belcher, on why we need to merge the emergent church and the evangelical church. And again, what I'm trying to show you is a conflict was set up on purpose to get people to compromise and give birth to a third way or a third option that many people don't recognize. Even the pastors that were opposed to what Rick Warren was doing, were opposed to what the emergent church were doing. They were opposed to all that. But yet what have they done? They've been duped. They've been deceived. And they've openly embraced the third way, the mixture of the evangelical church with the emergent church. Here's Deep Church, A Third Way Beyond Emerging and Traditional by Jim Belcher. Here is the description of the book. Quote, yet the two sides can't get along, talking about the emergent and traditional. They're hostile to each other, using their writings and conferences to denounce the other side. The vast majority of people are confused by the debate. Many have read emerging authors, agreeing with their assessment of the problem and aspects of what they are proposing. but they also have read traditional authors and are drawn to parts of their vision of the church as well. The majority want to learn from both sides. This book is written for those caught in the middle or in between. They're unhappy with the present state of the evangelical church, but are not sure where to turn for an answer. They like some of what the emerging and traditional camps offer, but they're not completely at ease with either. The public conflicts make this anxiety worse, and these people don't know who to trust or believe. But what if both are off target? Is there a third option, a via media? I believe there is a third way. I will demonstrate the strengths and weaknesses of both groups and move beyond them to a third way, the deep church, end quote. Now, who endorsed that book? Tim Keller. Here's what he said. Jim Belcher shows that we don't have to choose between orthodox evangelical doctrine on the one hand and cultural engagement, creativity, and commitment to social justice on the other. This is an important book, end quote. There you have it. They told you when this book came out, their goal was to merge the two groups together. It has now happened. And as a result, you now have a new thesis and a new animal, a new creation. And it is such a mixture of the evangelical world with some sound things about it, truth, with the emergent church and all of its error. But because they have been merged together and created a new thesis or given birth to a new group, a new movement, even those who are opposing the emergent church and Rick Warren's model of new churches don't recognize it and have jumped right in with the Gospel Coalition, speaking for them, inviting them to their church to be speakers, sharing the platform with them at Together for the Gospel and other events. You see the deception that took place? You had to set up the conflict first. You had to pit people against each other to get people to compromise and then get a new thesis, whether it is a mixture of both. And the people that were opposing Rick Warren and the emergent church are either so lacking in discernment or live in such a bubble that they didn't realize that this new creature was born and it has given birth to a whole new movement. And that's what's going on. Now, what is the emergent church all about? I have to define the emergent church for those of you who maybe don't remember or who are new, to prove to you that the two groups have merged to produce groups like the Gospel Coalition, right? I mean, you know what the evangelical church is all about, right? You know what that's all about. But do you know what the emergent church is about? Well, many of you do, but it's been a long time since we talked about it. So let's do a little refresher. One way to know what the emergent church is all about would be to go to someone who was part of it. Well, someone that was part of the emergent church was a guy named Jason Carlson. His father, Ron Carlson, was one of my best friends for years, and he passed away in June of 2011. And he got into the emergent church for a period of time with Brian McLaren, Doug Padgett, Tony Jones, Doug Padgett being out of Minneapolis, St. Paul, where Jason lived. But Jason Carlson was involved with the beginning of the emergent church, which Brian McLaren told us really came about through Bob Buford, Leadership Network. And Jason Carlson said openly in a presentation that we have inside the Situation Room, if you're a member, just go to situationroom.net and Jason Carlson, his presentation is actually called My Journey In and Out of the Emergent Church. In and Out of the Emergent Church. Here's what he says in that presentation and in articles he's written that we've published on our website at worldviewtimes.com. So you can probably find this description at worldviewtimes.com in our search engine. But this is how a guy who was in the Emergent Church for a little while and then realized, whoa, and he backed out and he began to openly criticize these guys. Here is the description of the emergent church. He says, Jason Carlson, openly questioning the relevance of key historical biblical doctrines such as the Trinity. So you're questioning key historical biblical doctrines. Do any of the guys within the Gospel Coalition today do that? Let's see. Tim Keller is part of BioLogos. What is Biologos all about? Questioning key historical biblical doctrines like, in the beginning, God created, and whether there was an original Adam and Eve. That's a big deal, because as Ken Ham will tell you, if you don't follow the Bible with its legitimate meanings at the very beginning, why should we follow it throughout the rest of the Bible? The whole Bible collapses. Sin, original sin, the gospel, everything. So the emergent church openly questions the relevance of key historical biblical doctrines, such as the Trinity, writes Jason Carlson, but it's more than that. So I have to ask the question, if that's what the emergent church is, do we see that at all over in the Gospel Coalition? From Tim Keller's Gospel Coalition, Tim Keller, who we now know was working with Bob Buford, who started the emergent church, but was also not only behind the emergent church, Bob Buford's leadership network was behind the idea of Peter Drucker's three-legged stool for cultural transformation of churches. In other words, he created two movements, folks. He created two movements. He wanted to fundamentally use churches to transform the culture by bringing together a communitarian philosophy, socialism mixed with capitalism, the government, corporations, and churches working in harmony together. At the same time, Bob Buford launches the Emergent Church, which is all about this quasi-mystic social justice, redefining the mission and purpose of the church, Christianity. You then flood the landscape with both movements and watch what happens. And who's involved all along? Tim Keller. Who endorsed a book that the Evangelical Church and the Emergent Church should merge together? Tim Keller. What did it do? Produced the offspring, which I believe is movements like the Gospel Coalition, started by Tim Keller in 2005. But it was in the 90s that the Emergent Church got going. So we're proving the things that the Emergent Church believed is what you really can find inside groups like the Gospel Coalition with its leaders. Questioning historical biblical doctrines like creation. Tim Keller working with the gospel, the Biologos. Two, Jason Carlson says that the emergent church believes in uncritically open embrace of the Catholic and Orthodox churches. Uncritically open embrace of the Catholic and Orthodox churches. Now, do we see that going on today? Yes, we do. We see guys within the Gospel Coalition praising the Catholic Church up one wall and down the other. Guys like Russell Moore, who's on the Council of the Gospel Coalition, talking about what a great pick it was for Pope Francis to be Person of the Year. We see a lot of guys with the Gospel Coalition endorsing one ecumenical thing after another. Things like, let's say, the Manhattan Declaration. We see them endorsing books like Rod Dreher's book, The Benedict Option, which is written by a former Catholic, now a guy who's going to the Orthodox Church, but praises Catholicism. And what do we see? Guys from the Gospel Coalition like Carl Truman and Al Mohler endorsing that book. And I could go on and on and on about the guys from the Gospel Coalition that are openly embracing Catholic concepts and ideas. Yet that's what we also found in the Emergent Church, according to Jason Carlson at one time, who was part of it and got out of it. And again, on our website at situationroom.net is a DVD by him. You can watch My Journey In and Out of the Emergent Church. What's another characteristic of the Emergent Church? An unbridled cynicism towards conservative evangelicalism and fundamentalism. That's one of the things you see with the Emergent Church. Do we find that today in the Gospel Coalition, a cynicism toward conservative evangelicals? Yes. You will find over there at the Gospel Coalition an article that was written by a guy named Tibetti, where he gave his space over the Gospel Coalition to a guy to write that it said, please encourage your church leaders to tell us to vote for Hillary Clinton. And over at the Gospel Coalition, you'll see them pushing white privilege. You'll see them pushing mandatory minimum incomes. You'll see them pushing the idea of reparations. You'll see them pushing all kinds of things that fly right in the face of traditional conservative evangelicals and fundamentalists. Depending on how you define fundamentalism, I don't define it really for myself as anything other than believing in the fundamental doctrines of the faith. So we see that one of the aspects of the emergent church is an unbridled cynicism towards conservative evangelicals and fundamentalists. Well, that's what you see at the Gospel Coalition, so you can see the aspects of the emergent church over there. That's what happens when you merge the emergent church with the evangelical church, as Tim Keller called for, and you give birth to the Gospel Coalition that he started. And he endorsed the book that calls for this. Oh, by the way, many of the guys over at the Gospel Coalition were strong, strong never Trumpers. And maybe you were. But the difference is, many of them were saying, like Al Mohler, if you vote for Trump, you lack discernment, you're not evangelical, you don't probably go to church, you may not even be saved. Very hostile to conservatives. Not to mention you have Al Mohler praising Nelson Mandela, communist and terrorist, as a hero in an article. Well, what's another characteristic of the emergent church? A reading of scripture that is heavily prejudiced towards a social gospel understanding. Well, let me ask you, do we see the social gospel over at the Gospel Coalition? Yes, that's why we call it really the Cultural Marxist Gospel Coalition. How about this? Little or no talk of evangelicalism or saving lost souls. Little or no talk of evangelicalism or saving lost souls. Well, how much of a clear gospel can you have if you have a false gospel? And most of the guys, the neo-Calvinists, the new Calvinists, have a false gospel, which is why, again, I highly recommend the book by E.S. Williams entitled The New Calvinist, where the pastor of the historic Memorial Tabernacle, Spurgeon's old church, says these guys have a new gospel. So how can you have true evangelism if you don't even have the true gospel? You see that over at the Gospel Coalition with these people. So again, what is the point we're making? When you set up a thesis and antithesis, evangelical church and the emergent church, and they fight and they merge, they give birth to a new movement, a new thesis, and it can be seen in the likes of the Gospel Coalition, founded by Tim Keller, who actually endorsed a book calling for such. Now here's what's shocking. Again, people that were opposed to Rick Warren and Tim Keller, Rick Warren and the Emergent Church, have now embraced the Gospel Coalition because they don't recognize that this conflict created a new creature, a new creation. 1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829.
Don't miss out on any of our live streaming broadcasts. Hello, I'm Brandon House, and with all the technology that we have now, we can stream live anytime there's breaking news. Not to mention, we have our Sunday night live streaming situation room briefing. Now, when you join our text alert system, you'll get a link sent to you by text to your iPhone, iPad, Android, and you'll be able to immediately come to that link and watch our live streaming program. Sometimes we may do a breaking news story and bring in an expert through Skype on something that's happening in the world. So it could be a breaking news story, or it could just be our regular Sunday night live streaming situation room briefing. Don't you want to get a text alert so you don't forget and can just tap that link on your iPhone, iPad, Android and come right to our player and live stream that event? Well, all you have to do is text WVW to 88202. Just text WVW to 88202 and you'll be a part of our text alert system and won't miss out on breaking news as well as special live streaming events and special links we send out for crucial radio shows, TV shows, and articles. Again, just text WVW to 88202.
You are listening to Worldview Radio Network, a broadcast ministry of Worldview Weekend and Worldview Weekend Foundation.
The Ozarks 2018 Worldview Weekend keynote presentations are now being added to the Situation Room. Hello, I'm Brandon House, and we had a great Ozarks Worldview Weekend 2018, and we filmed 16 presentations that included two 90-minute panel discussions with the speakers. We have now post-edited some of those keynote presentations, and they're now waiting for you to watch inside the Situation Room as a member under the Library tab and then look for DVDs. Now, we've already got some post-edited, they've been added to the Situation Room, and throughout the month of June, we will finish post-editing the balance. By the way, we filmed these keynote presentations with four cameras. One of them was a swinging boom camera. So what I'm telling you is, these are broadcast quality. like national network broadcast quality in HD. But not only do you get all of the Worldview Weekend presentations from our Ozarks Conference from 2018, you get all the Worldview Weekend presentations from years gone by, going all the way back to 2004. You get $145,000 access to $145,000 in ebooks, audiobooks, transcripts, Bible software, TV shows, radio shows, and conference DVDs. SituationRoom.net. You can join for just $9.99 a month, $99 a year, $149 for 2 years, or save $100 and join for 3 years for just $199. Again, SituationRoom.net. This is where members understand the times through a biblical worldview. And again, when you're a member of the Situation Room, you're also a member of WorldviewPedia.com, our powerful biblical online worldview software that we're adding to each and every month. You can check it out, even test drive it right now, WorldviewPedia.com. So why not join the Situation Room if you're not a member right now and support the continuation of this biblical radio and television ministry? WVW Broadcast Network is a listener-supported ministry. We rely on you either contributing to the Worldview Weekend Foundation with a tax-deductible contribution and or being a member of the Situation Room at SituationRoom.net. Black Lives Matter has had $100 million contributed to them. Many liberal groups have all kinds of liberal, multi-million dollar foundations underwriting them. We just have you. Those that contribute to our Worldview Weekend Foundation and those of you that are members of the Situation Room. We are a listener-supported broadcast ministry. And if you're not a member of the Situation Room, would you please join right now? SituationRoom.net, and just go to the bottom of the page and click the join button. SituationRoom.net, where members understand the times through a biblical worldview.
All right, welcome back. Live radio. Can you believe someone knocks on the door? No one comes to the door, so they knock on my window while I'm on radio? I guess I'm going to have to eventually move where I have a fence around my house. 1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829. While you're getting on board, remember now, evangelicals in the emergent church merge to produce today's evangelical cultural Marxists. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. And many people don't see it because of this dialectic that's gone on. And I can get into more of this tomorrow to prove to you further that these guys are doing that very thing, the very same things Rick Warren was calling for, the very same things the emergent church was calling for, the groups like the Gospel Coalition or Tim Keller are doing, but people that oppose Rick Warren and the emergent church are embracing the Gospel Coalition. Why? Because they have been fooled. They've been fooled by the dialectic. A new creature has been created that is a mixture of the emergent church, a mixture of the evangelical church with this idea of Rick Warren's purpose-driven churches being carried on now by reformed guy, Calvinist guy, new Calvinist, Tim Keller. And people who once opposed Rick Warren's model in the emergent church are openly embracing the Gospel Coalition. And you're like, well, wait a minute, how can you embrace them? Because this is what the Gospel Coalition and these kind of groups are, and you were opposed to Rick Warren and the emergent church, but yet you embrace and work with these guys. Because they don't see it. Why don't they see it? Because the thesis has occurred. The conflict has occurred. A new creature has been born. A mixture of truth and error. And they didn't see it. And it's easy to be fooled. That's why we do what we do. That's why we're here. That's why we do the research that we do. To try to connect the dots and show you how this is done. But what you need to understand is it is done through a psychological process of manipulation that not only wears people down, but it confuses them. Because again, you can't oftentimes get people to openly accept an outright lie. So you have to mix things together. Or you have to have people get tired of the conflict. So they'll say, okay, well, we'll accept a little bit of the evangelical with a little bit of the emergent if we can just all get along. And again, the change comes from the conflict. Let's go to the phone lines. 1-800-347-9829. 1-800-347-9829. Ron, line one. Ron, welcome back.
Hey, thanks a lot, Brandon. Thanks for taking my call. A couple of points today, if you give me a little time for. I'll bring up the first one. because it was really troubling. Just this morning, in fact, unfortunately on VCY, I heard one of your sound biblical teachers for years, but these guys, from time to time, they insist on giving credibility to the poster boys, like he used a quote from John Piper, affirmatively. And it's just so troubling. And I hate to bring it up, but it happened, and so I'm bringing it up. The other point is, exactly what you're talking about is happening up in our area with a fellowship that me and a few other brothers have since left. And we have met in humility with the elders, and we're trying to get these guys to see they have ties for many years with a big church in Birmingham, Alabama, and these other guys in David Platt. And we've been begging them. I haven't actually been there in a while, but one of the other brothers, to look into this and consider it and discern, and they just don't seem to want to. And we're really praying for them. I love these guys. They're good, upstanding doctors, engineers. They're family guys. They're good guys, but they just, at least for right now, they don't see it. So we're really keeping them in prayer. My closing thing is, by the way, I was just so happy to hear it at this down home live radio, and to have a happy dog in the background barking is great.
That was not a happy dog. That was a disturbed dog from someone knocking on the door.
Alive, and my 12-year-old retriever, who was such a good boy, just died last week, and I had to bury him in. It was a tough time. So at least they're alive.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you. Thank you, Ron. It is tough. Well, let me comment on your first comment. There are a lot of guys out there that are preaching a solid word, and they will from time to time quote people like John Piper and others, and I don't know why they do it. Maybe they just don't know. I mean, we don't all know everything. I don't know everything. And so they just don't know, and so there's something that happens. And to stop that kind of thing from going over the airwaves, you would have to listen to every second of every broadcast before it airs, and that's just not really humanly possible to do. And we run into that same thing on our website, where we find something that ran and something was said or quoted, and we wished it hadn't have been, but it's too late. Again, we can't sit and listen to every program. And so you trust your broadcasters, and sometimes they'll quote somebody you wish they hadn't, and it's, again, it's kind of hard to get that out of the airwaves once it's gone. So it happens, and we all do our very best that we can. But I also with that would say that you do have guys that are in many ways theologically sound that sometimes quote people we don't agree with, and we just have to look at the big picture and say, well, you know what? They have the gospel right. They have the fundamentals of the faith right. Yeah, okay, so occasionally they quote somebody that's definitely off the reservation like Piper, and we just got to have some grace and cut some slack. But as far as you're working with your leadership to warn them about what's happening, it is very, very difficult to do. Very difficult to do. And as we have already seen, it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of research to be able to explain what this is all about. And in defense of your friends that, you know, you're trying to warn, and it's good you're warning them, when you have guys that run big organizations with big staffs, and so they have a lot of manpower around them to do the homework, do the research, and watch, and they don't even pick it up, what does that tell you? This is very complicated. This again, is why you have different people that do different things. You have some people that are called as pastors to teach the Word of God and equip the saints for the work of ministry. Then you have other guys like me. I'm not a pastor. I'm not an elder. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a deacon. I'm not in church leadership. I have no desire to be any of those things. I'm a talk show host and an author and a researcher. But I do desire to resource and equip and help pastors by explaining to them some of the methods that are going on, and really the deceptive methods, and I believe deliberately deceptive methods and movements that are started deliberately to conflict with each other in order to use the Hegelian dialectic process to wear people down and to confuse people and to start a new thesis. And unless you're able to understand these ideas and movements and study them and track their origins and the people behind them, how would you know? And pastors don't have time to do all that with marrying and bearing and counseling. And businessmen, as you said, that are engineers and gifted businessmen that are running their businesses and yet trying to have a church they start on the side also don't have the time. So maybe, again, we can be a resource to those to help them. All right? I hope this is help, folks. Take care.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on BCY America.